body aches at bedtime, Sierrasil is a natural mineral supplement that supports joint health, calms inflammation, and we're so sure it'll work for you as it has for me and my husband for over 10 years. It has a money-back guarantee. Go to Sierrasil.com, Sierrasil, and use the code DRIFT for 10% off. Hello, I'm Erin, and welcome to Drift. I'm so glad you've joined me for this sleep story, because we're going to take a trip back in time and revisit a tale written by the brothers Grimm, Jacob and Wilhelm. We're going to hear the story of the Little Farmer, reimagined by Anita Reynolds MacArthur. He's a simple, yet clever man, who seems to find ways to get exactly what he wants. But before we plow in, so to speak, let's get you all cozy and ready for our story journey together. Made possible by Envy Pillow. It's a Canadian-designed ergonomic pillow that cradles your face and aligns your spine, and was created by Kathy and Kim, two registered nurses, with your health and the planet in mind. Learn more in the morning at Envy, E-N-V-Y, pillow.com. Now, let go. Just get comfortable. Find that perfect spot in your mattress. Let your shoulders release all of the stress and responsibilities of the day. Your mouth can let go of that tiny smile. Loosen your lips, your jaw. Make your arms and legs comfortable. And now, take a few deep breaths. In and out. And once more, in. And as you exhale, think these words: I am safe. I am loved. I am at peace. And if you're ready, let's drift. A long, long time ago, in a faraway land, with rolling green pastures dotted with herds of brown Jersey cows, there was a certain quaint old village where lived many rich farmers and only one poor one. What was his name? Well, to be honest, we don't know. You see, no one cared to get to know the lone poor farmer, so he became known simply as the Little Farmer. That is, if anyone gave him a second thought, and they didn't. This poor fellow did not even have one single cow, and no money to buy one. It is nice to know that he had someone who loved him, for the Little Farmer lived in a tiny house on a very small plot of land, just on the outskirts of the village, with the love of his life. His wife was taller and leaner than him, and she had long brown hair that she tied up in a tight, neat bun each day. They were honest, hard-working folk, but no one seemed to notice anything about them, except that they were poor. Now, you wouldn't think that would be such a big deal, but you see, being poor really set the Little Farmer and his wife wide apart from the rest of the farmers and their families. Whether they attended Mass at church, purchased what few goods they could afford from the local market, or volunteered their time at community gatherings, they were shunned. Nobody said, "Hello," or "Nice day." Nothing. Just nothing. Although the Little Farmer and his wife had each other, they felt lonely and dejected. After a while, as you can well imagine, this got to them. So the Little Farmer and his wife wished and wished for their bad fortune to change. One day, the Little Farmer had a thought. "Listen, I have a good idea," he exclaimed to his wife. Your godfather, the carpenter, shall make us a calf made of wood and paint it brown, so as to look just like any other. And then, he continued, in time, perhaps it will grow big and become a real cow. Well, funny as it sounds, this notion pleased the farmer's wife, and so she asked her godfather to set to work to saw and plane. That he did, and soon he turned out a calf. It looked quite real. In fact, if you were far enough away, you might think you were actually looking at the calf of a Jersey cow with its head down and neck stretched out as if it were grazing. How about that? The next morning, as the cows were being driven to pasture, the little farmer called out to the driver, like a shepherd for cattle. Look here, I've got a small calf to go, if you've got room for one more in your herd, but it is still young and must be carried. All right, said the driver, as he tucked the calf under his arm. Well, it must have been extremely well made, because he didn't seem to notice that it wasn't a real calf. He carried it into the meadows and stood it in the grass. The calf stayed where it was put and seemed to be eating all the time. The driver thought to himself, it will soon be able to run alone if it grazes at that rate. In the evening, when the herds had to be driven home, the driver said to the calf, if you can stand there eating like that, you can just walk off on your own four legs, so I am not going to lug you under my arm again. As the sun began to set, the little farmer stood by his front door, anxiously waiting for his calf to be returned home. He spotted the driver coming through the village with all of his cows, but without his calf. The little farmer ran into the village to ask the driver why he had returned without his calf. Oh, it is still out there eating away, and didn't listen when I called the rest of the cattle, and would not come home with us, answered the driver. Well, the little farmer pretended to be upset, and said, well, we can't just leave him out there alone all night. I must have my beast brought home. With a shrug, the driver said, all right, took the rest of his charge home, and returned to join the little farmer in the search for his cow. And they went together through the fields in quest of the calf, but it sure looked as though someone had stolen it because it was gone. Most likely it has run away, said the driver. But the little farmer would have none of it. That will just not do, he yelled at the driver. So he brought the driver before the town judge, a portly man with an overly important sense of self, who sympathized with the little farmer and ordered the driver to pay for his carelessness by giving the farmer a cow of his own to replace the missing calf. Well, the little farmer and his wife's wish had finally come true. They rejoiced with all their hearts. But times being as they were, that cow was not long for this world, as, since they had no money, they could give it nothing to eat. Remember that they, too, were starving. Before long, they had no choice but to kill the cow to feed themselves. But you see, the cow still served yet another purpose. The little farmer decided to go to town to sell its lovely brown and white hide and buy a new calf with what he got for it. When he had finished his chores, late that same afternoon, he set out for town. As the skies darkened, he could hear a sound down a dirt path towards a mill. He followed the quiet kurr, kurr sound and looked to the ground where a big black raven was sitting with broken wings. He bent down by the big stone wall at which it was curled up, and having pity on it, the little farmer scooped up the poor, pathetic, injured bird and wrapped it in the cow skin. Good thing he did, as just then it started to pelt rain and the winds blew. Oh, it was turning into quite a nasty evening. As the gales wailed and the raindrops fell sideways, the little farmer looked at where he was and decided to turn into the mill and seek shelter from the storm. Using the rust-colored iron ring as big as his head, he knocked on the huge wooden door. The miller's wife, a stout woman with a twinkle in her eye, opened the door. She was alone in the house. Well, she took one look at the little farmer, who appeared wet to the bone, and took pity on him. "Well," said the miller's wife in an upbeat tone, "come in and lie down in the straw." Then she gave him a piece of warm bread and a slice of fresh cheese. The little farmer graciously accepted the food. He ate, and then lay down in the straw with his precious cowhide near him. The miller's wife thought sure he was asleep to the world, so tired from his travels in such inclement weather. After a while, there was another knock at the door, and in came another man. But he got a much warmer welcome from the miller's wife than the last one she had offered. "My husband is out," she said. "Let's have a little party, shall we?" The little farmer listened to what they said, and when he heard about a party, he grew angry, thinking he had been put off with bread and cheese. The miller's wife proceeded to bring out roast meat, fresh salad, warm cakes, and red wine. As the pair sat down to their feast, there came outside the door the sound of a horse's hooves, heralding the arrival home of the miller himself. "Oh dear," cried the woman, "it is my husband." Faster than you can even imagine, her apron flying as she scurried, she popped the roast meat into the oven, corked and wedged the wine under the pillow, placed the wooden salad bowl in the bed, slid the pewter plate of glistening honey cakes under the bed, and lastly, although she probably should have thought to do this first, pointed to the linen closet and told the man to climb inside. She turned the key, patted down her hair and her apron, and then, calmly as she could, opened the door to her husband. The miller had put away his horse and now towered in the doorframe. He was dripping wet from all of the rain and couldn't wait to come inside. Although rather gruff-looking, with a burly chest and a deep, gravelly voice, the miller, as the little farmer could see from his straw bed, had kind eyes. "Thank goodness you're here," she exclaimed. "What weather it is, as if the world were coming to an end." When the miller saw the little farmer lying in the straw, he said inquisitively, "What fellow have you got there?" "Oh," said the wife dismissively, waving him off. "The poor chap came in the midst of the wind and rain and asked for shelter. I gave him some bread and cheese and spread some straw for him." "Oh, well, I have no objection," answered the husband. "Only get me something to eat at once, would you?" "There's nothing but bread and cheese," said the wife. "Anything will do for me," replied the miller. "Bread and cheese will be just fine." Catching the eye of the little farmer, he beckoned him over. "Come along and keep me company." The little farmer did not wait to be asked twice. He sat down at the table and began to eat. As they tore at the crusts of the thick brown bread, the miller looked up from his plate and noticed the brown and white skin lying on the ground. With the big black raven's beady eyes and huge beak poking out from underneath, "What have you got there?" asked the miller. "A fortune teller," replied the little farmer. "Can he tell my fortune?" asked the miller. "Why not?"
"How does it work?"
"He will tell four things, and the fifth he keeps to himself." The miller became very curious indeed. "Ask him to say something," he commanded. And the little farmer went to where the raven was resting and pinched it just a bit so that it croaked. "Grr, grr."
"What does it say?" asked the miller.
"How interesting. First, he says that there is wine under the pillow," said the little farmer.
"Oh, that would be jolly," cried the miller.
He went to look and found the wine.
"What next?" asked the miller.
The farmer made the raven croak again. "He says, secondly, that there is a roast meat in the oven."
"That would be jolly," cried the miller,
and he went and looked and found the roast meat. The little farmer made the fortune teller speak again.
"He says, thirdly, that there is salad in the bed."
"That would be jolly," cried the miller. So he went and he looked and he found the salad. Once more, the little farmer pinched the raven so that he croaked. "He says, fourthly and lastly, that there are cakes under the bed."
"That would be jolly," cried the miller. And he went and looked, and sure enough, he found the cakes.
The two sat down at the table once again and dug in to their feast. The miller's wife felt very uncomfortable. She quickly went to bed and took all the keys with her, fingering the linen closet key in her apron pocket as she went. The miller was eager to know what the fifth thing could be. But the little farmer said, "Suppose we finish eating the four things in peace first, for the fifth thing is a great deal worse." So they sat and ate bread, wine, beef, salad, and oh, cakes. But while they chewed, they chatted. They bargained together as to how much the miller would give for knowing the fifth thing. At last, they agreed upon $300. Then the little farmer pinched the raven so that he croaked aloud, and the miller asked what he said, and the little farmer answered, "He says there is a demon in the linen closet."
"Well then," said the miller, "that demon must come out of the linen closet."
The little farmer opened the front door. Then he went to the miller's wife and whispered to her to give him the linen closet key. Reluctantly, she handed it over, and he went to the rusty keyhole, turned the key slowly, and opened it up. The man, who had been enjoying such fine hospitality only a short time before, rushed forth, his eyes bugging out, his arms swinging wildly, and he ran out of the house in a flash.
"I saw the rogue with my own eyes," exclaimed the miller. "Good riddance."
At daybreak the next morning, the little farmer left the mill, contentedly patting the $300 in his pocket. The storm had finally passed. Birds tweeted in the treetops, and crickets chirped in the meadow. The little farmer tilted his head up as he walked the path home, with a skip in his step. Such a change from the evening before, in so very many ways. Well, things were indeed looking up. This unexpected windfall of cash helped the little farmer and his wife to improve their standing and make plans for a better future. And it would start with him building a good house. This new construction attracted plenty of attention. Oh,
and envy. The other farmers said, "Surely the little farmer has been where it rains gold pieces, and he has brought home money by the bushel. But from where? And by what deeds have these funds come to him?" A group of citizens went to the judge, demanding to learn the answers. So the little farmer was summoned before the judge to tell how he came into such riches. And all he said was, "I sold my calf's skin for $300. Well, when the other farmers heard this, they all wanted to share such good luck. So they ran home and killed all their cows in the hopes that their hides would also fetch the same high price as that of the little farmer. Never one to miss a chance to line his already bulging pockets, the judge said, "Let me go first." And they had to, because he was the biggest authority in town. He sent his servant to the skin buyer. But what's this? The servant came back with only $3 for the skin, which, while it wasn't $300, was still more than the farmers who followed would get. They didn't even get three. Well, you can picture how angry the farmers were with the little farmer for misleading them. They met up at a loud and furious town meeting, where it was agreed that they would have their vengeance, with the judge, who was equally angry, declaring that the little farmer should pay for the deceit with his life. The judge said that in his wisdom he had decided the little farmer would be put into a cask with holes in it and rolled into the water. As his poor wife cried, the farmer was led to what would certainly be his watery grave, and a priest was fetched to say Mass for him. Out of respect, for even a scoundrel such as he deserved a moment to make his peace with God before his death, the rest of the people stood at a distance. But as they hovered close in prayer, the little farmer got a good look at the priest. And even in his black robes, with his head bowed, he was very clearly the same man who had been hiding in the linen closet at the miller's. "As I let you out of the cupboard," whispered the farmer to the priest, "you must let me out of the cask." Call it a miracle if you will, but at that moment, a shepherd passed with a flock of sheep. Now, the little farmer knew that this very shepherd had a great wish to become judge himself one day, and he called out with all his might, "No, I will not, and if all the world asked me, I would not." Well, the shepherd, seeing the crowd far away on the hill, and coming up a back road hearing this man's call, asked the little farmer just what it was he would not do. "They want to make me a judge if I sit in this cask, but I will not do it," answered the sly little farmer. "Well, if that is all there is to do in order to become a judge, I will sit in the cask and be grateful," said the shepherd. "Yep, that is all. You just get into the cask and you will become judge," replied the farmer. So the gullible shepherd agreed and got in. And the little farmer fastened on the top. And then he collected the herd of sheep and drove them away. The priest, meantime, went back to the parish assembly and told them the Mass had been said. Then they gathered by the cask, all of them, and began to roll the cask into the water. As it rolled, the shepherd inside called out, "I consent to be the judge." They assumed that it was the little farmer, that voice in the cask, who spoke. "All right," they answered with laughter. "But first you must go down below and look about a little." They rolled the cask into the water until it was submerged.
Once that was done, the farmers went home, feeling a bit relieved that justice had been served after they'd all been so cruelly fooled. When they reached the village, well, there they met the little farmer driving a flock of sheep and looking dry, calm, and contented, happy even. The farmers were astonished. "Little farmer, where did you come from? How did you get out of the water?" "Oh, easily," he answered. "I sank and I sank until I came to the bottom. Then I broke through the cask and came out of it, and there were beautiful meadows and plenty of sheep feeding. So I brought away this flock with me." A murmur arose among the farmers. "Are there any left?" they asked, hoping that after the great cattle fiasco, they might redeem their losses just a bit. "Oh, yes," replied the little farmer, "more than you could possibly need." Gleefully, the farmers agreed that they would go and fetch some sheep too. Then each man a flock for himself.
"Me first," proclaimed the judge, because of course he did.
They all went together to the water's edge. There were small, fleecy clouds, like baby lambs, in the blue sky above, that were reflected in the water. "There are sheep down there at the bottom," the farmers cried out in unison. When the judge heard that, he pushed forward through the crowd and said, "I will go first and look about me, and if things look well, I'll call to you." And he jumped right into the water. He was waving his arms and making so much noise, but his cries of "help" sounded more like "yep." So the whole bunch of farmers, every last one of them, jumped in, one after the other, never to be seen again. And the little farmer, as sole heir, became a very rich man. Not a happy ending for all, but certainly for the farmer. Maybe they should have been nicer to him, And so, on that note, I wish you a good night and sweet dreams.